The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening. This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs. Will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right. Welcome to a Thursday. Not a very good day in America. Some people might say it was a good day because somebody did the right thing. Al Franken stood up on the floor of the Senate and resigned. Not the same way John Conyers did yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before? Boy, all the days are running together now. But he said within a coming weeks, basically at the end of the year, Al Franken will be stepping down from his Senate seat in the U.S. Senate. And it's too bad because I think Al Franken turned out to be a really good senator. He wasn't quite as progressive as I would have liked. But then again, I'm a Bernie Sanders fan, so that's what you get from me. But I think Al Franken was really good. He put his nose to the proverbial grindstone, and he worked. He worked throughout his entire first term with hardly cracking a single joke. And then finally he got around to loosening up a bit and being more of himself, but a U.S. senator who was a tough, tough questioner in the Senate Judiciary Committee, especially of Attorney General Jeff Sessions. He held his feet to the fire like no one else did, and I think that might be a reason why he was targeted. And yes, I do believe Al Franken was targeted. It doesn't mean that I'm saying he wasn't guilty of being a little too touchy-feely. But was he a sexual predator? I don't think so. Did he perhaps, touch some woman's ass who didn't ask for it? Probably. I was listening to Randy Rhodes the other day, the day that the allegations broke from Leanne Tweeden. And I didn't know Al Franken. I worked at Air America, but I did my show from my home in Florida. I never worked in the studios with him in New York. And so I didn't, I only met him once. Met him once, had my picture taken with him. And he was the perfect gentleman, didn't touch me any way inappropriately. And I guess he had an opportunity to do so. But in the end, eight women came forward. The first was Leanne Tweeden, who, well, I believe is a right-wing operative. But the thing is, she had that picture. And regardless of what happened on the USO tour, the picture was all that was necessary, even if he didn't actually touch her. And I think at this point, no one's alleging that he did. Not Leanne Tweeden, certainly not Al Franken. It was a setup picture that just wasn't funny. But what might have been funny in the year 2000 or 2001, whenever that was taken, is a far cry from what we consider funny today. Think about the movie Animal House for a moment. Animal House, which was always one of my favorite movies. You know, if you watch that now, you'd be mortified by some of the things that go on there. I mean, one of the guys, I forget his name, one of the guys in the frat house was remember the mayor's daughter who was a young teenager who came over to the frat party, to the toga party, and got shit-faced drunk, and they took advantage of her. I mean, there was date rape in that movie. There was all kinds of stuff. And so what I'm saying is our attitudes change, and we are finally at the point where it's not okay for a man to touch a woman when she's unconscious, when she doesn't want it, when it's unwelcome. It's just not okay. And we know that it's happened, and it's especially happens when the men are in a position of power. Think about Arnold Schwarzenegger for a moment. former governor of California. Now, I believe he was already out of office when the allegations of his affair with a housekeeper came to light. I mean, he has a son by that woman. You know, he goes about his business. My memory is shaky on this one. And I think he was already out of office when it came. Yeah, Speedbird in the chat room just said, I agree with Bob Kincaid, who wrote something about this on Twitter. He said, I want to talk to the guy with the camera then. What was the true context? I would love to hear from the cameraman. I think it was just a silly joke that today is certainly not funny. Back then, Al Franken wasn't in the U.S. Senate. Not that it makes a difference, but it does. In fact, I don't think any of these allegations that were made by any of these eight women, four of whom I believe chose to remain anonymous, I don't believe any of them happened while he was in the Senate. And does that warrant him losing his job? I guess it does because he's out. In fact, here's a little bit of what Al Franken said today.
You know, an important part of the conversation we've been having the last few months has been about how men abuse their power and privilege to hurt women. I am proud that during my time in the Senate, I have used my power to be a champion of women, and that I've earned a reputation as someone who respects the women I work alongside every day. I know there's been a very different picture of me painted over the last few weeks, but I know who I really am. Serving in the United States Senate has been the great honor of my life. I know in my heart that nothing I have done as a senator, nothing
as a senator,
has brought this honor on this institution.
Okay.
And I am confident that the Ethics Committee would agree. Nevertheless, today I am announcing that in the coming weeks, I will be resigning as a member of the United States Senate. I, of all people, am aware that there is some irony in the fact that I am leaving while a man who has bragged on tape about his history of sexual assault sits in the Oval Office.
You think?
And a man who has repeatedly preyed on young girls' campaigns for the Senate with the full support of his party. But this decision is not about me. It's about the people of Minnesota. And it's become clear that I can't both pursue the Ethics Committee process and at the same time remain an effective senator for them.
And his caucus, they didn't allow it. It started yesterday, and it snowballed really. Apparently, it started earlier than yesterday because allegedly all the women in the Senate had been talking about it. And finally, Kirsten Gillibrand made a statement yesterday, and it snowballed from there, where by the end of the day, more than 35 members, Democrats in the U.S. Senate, had called for Al Franken to step down. It had just gone too far. I do believe that the Leanne Sweden? Thing was a setup. I don't know the motivations of the other women who came forward. Maybe I'm taking this a little too personally because I actually really have admired Al Franken, and I see this as just a shitty side of him. But I think it's also a generational thing. I think an older guy, how old is Franken? Around 66. And I'm not excusing him by any means. I think they are, you know, they look at the world differently. And it was never used to be a big deal to pat someone on the butt. Now it is a big deal. You keep your hands to yourself. I think Al Franken is guilty of being a little too touchy-feely. I don't think he's a pervert like Roy Moore is, like Donald Trump is. And I'm glad he made that point about the fact that Donald Trump is still sitting in the Oval Office and Roy Moore is running for the U.S. Senate with the blessing of his party. Now, we have to say it's the RNC, the Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee did not re-enter the race, and apparently they're not getting back behind Roy Moore. But so what? The damage is done. Roy Moore will likely be elected on Tuesday. And then what? I hope, you know, if this was a calculated move on the Democrats' part, they better raise holy hell if Roy Moore is elected and demand that at the very least he sent to the Ethics Committee. He should not be seated, but if the people of Alabama elect him, I don't know what recourse they have. What a world we live in. It's 2017, almost 2018. And yes, we're still letting war criminals free. Isn't it amazing? It's Thursday. Howie Klein will be here. And we're going to talk about something else the House of Representatives did yesterday that is wholly unbelievable. But when you think about today's Republican Party, we can believe it. That's coming up and more. Stick around.
I read the news today.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The president on Wednesday officially recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and ordered the State Department to move the U.S. Embassy there from Tel Aviv.
Today, we finally acknowledge the obvious, that Jerusalem is Israel's capital. This is nothing more or less than a recognition of reality. It is also the right thing to do. That is why, consistent with the Jerusalem Embassy Act, I am also directing the State Department to begin preparation to move the American Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. This will immediately begin the process of hiring architects, engineers, and planners so that a new embassy, when completed, will be a magnificent tribute to peace. In making these announcements, I also want to make one point very clear. This decision is not intended in any way to reflect a departure from our strong commitment to facilitate a lasting peace agreement. We want an agreement that is a great deal for the Israelis and a great deal for the Palestinians.
Clashes between Palestinian protesters and Israeli soldiers broke out Thursday in Ramallah and other places in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, one day after Trump announced that his administration would recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. The Woodrow Wilson Center's Robin Wright weighs in.
What happened today was the equivalent of throwing a diplomatic bomb into the peace process. The president decided that he wanted to do what every president for the last 70 years has refused to do, and that is recognize Israel as the Israeli capital before there is a peace process. There has always been the working assumption that this was going to be a reward for making peace and not something that was handed out on a silver platter beforehand with nothing tangible in return.
The Palestinian Authority called for a general strike in Palestinian cities and 3 days of rage. With backing from Turkey, the Palestinians said that recognizing Jerusalem was in breach of both international law and UN resolutions. Eight countries on the 15-member UN Security Council called for an emergency meeting to discuss the matter. It's scheduled for Friday. The New York Times on Wednesday reported that former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn assured a business associate that economic sanctions against Russia would be ripped up as one of the Trump administration's first orders of business.
NBC News reports that according to an unnamed whistleblower, Mike Flynn sent a text to a former business associate 11 minutes after Donald Trump was sworn in as president, saying Russian sanctions would be, quote, ripped up once Trump was inside the White House, and that a U.S.-Russian business plan to build nuclear power plants in the Middle East was, quote, good to go. This whistleblower says Flynn sent those texts while he was still up there on the dais. While the president was delivering his inaugural address, the whistleblower gave that account to members of the House Oversight Committee in June. Well, today, Maryland Democratic Congressman Elijah Cummings laid out the allegations against Flynn in a letter to the committee's Republican chair, Trey Gowdy. Cummings had delayed releasing this information until today, notably at the request of Robert Mueller. Cummings had asked that the committee subpoena Flynn, the business associate, the White House, and others involved in that alleged plan.
Donald Trump Jr. was questioned by the House Intelligence Committee behind closed doors and under oath for around 8 hours on Wednesday. Ranking Democrat Adam Schiff explained that the younger Trump tried to invoke attorney-client privilege regarding a conversation with his father about the June 2016 Trump Tower meeting with a Russian attorney and senior members of the campaign.
There was one significant area, though, where he declined to answer. He acknowledged having discussed the June 9th meeting and the emails that went into establishing that meeting. After those emails became public, he acknowledged discussing that matter with his father, but refused to answer questions about that discussion on the basis of a claim of attorney-client privilege. In my view, there is no attorney-client privilege that protects a discussion between father and son. As I understand it, this particular conversation for which they were claiming privilege took place after the emails became public.
Senator Al Franken is expected to hold a press conference Thursday regarding his political future. This in response to calls from more than 30 of his Democratic colleagues to step down amid allegations of sexual misconduct from 8 women who've come forward. Senator Bernie Sanders appeared on the CBS Morning News Thursday morning.
And Senator Franken says, listen, that last allegation was absolutely not true. He has admitted to some, but he said the last one was not true. But I've talked to both Democrats and Republicans who say this. Senator Franken may likely step down today. Senator Moore possibly may be joining the Senate. And he has been accused of far worse than what Senator Franken is accused of. What is your take on that? How do you
square
that?
Well, let me take it a little step further. We have a president of the United States who acknowledged on a tape, widely seen all over this country, that he assaulted women. So I would hope that maybe the president of the United States might pay attention to what's going on and also think about resigning. But if your point is that it's not just Al Franken, you're absolutely right.
And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I really can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate. Well, we're supposed to have somebody from the Talk Media News Service calling in to give us a little bit more news, although I'm not seeing anyone. So I guess I can open the phones for a few minutes should you care to weigh in on Al Franken's resigning or anything else going on in the news. 954-889-6410 is the number. 954-889-6410, or you can Skype in to Nicole Sandler. Somebody in the chat room excuse me, just a moment ago asked why I would say Leanne Tweeden was a setup. Well, it just was too convenient. Leanne Tweeden was, she first of all, a good friend of Sean Hannity's. She was a regular guest on Sean Hannity's, I guess, TV and radio show, a regular, you know, semi-regular guest, and they were friends. It's just quite interesting that the night before she came out with her allegations, Roger Stone tweeted something about Al Franken going into the barrel. It's just a little too convenient. Hi, who's this?
Nicole.
Yes.
It's Nicholas. Nicholas. Hi, honey.
Hello, Nicholas. Nicholas calling from Mexico?
Let me mute you here because I hear you loud and clear over the phone. Where's my darn thing? There.
Okay.
Yes, it's me down here in southern Mexico, barely holding it together today.
Yeah, things. So what do you think about Al Franken resigning?
Oh, God, you must be feeling very brave today. I feel a great deal, and I am not happy. I don't even know where to start. How do I feel about Al Franken resigning? I think it's a national disgrace.
Yeah.
And absolutely nothing short of that to any degree at all. I am livid at Gillibrand. She is now officially dead to me.
Hmm.
I could not overstate how angry I am.
There are those who say in order for the Democrats to keep the high ground, the moral high ground, they had no choice because 8 women came forward. I mean, and when
I understand,
right?
I do understand, Nicole. I think you know me a little bit by now.
Mm-hmm.
You know I understand. But at the same time, there is no moral high ground in this particular war that the Republicans have declared against us all.
Mm-hmm.
And I do see it as an absolute social war going on. If Moore wins, the declaration of war should be very, very clear to all of us, I believe. It's beyond the pale now. The Democratic women senators so disappointed me. If they wanted to take the moral high ground, give Franken the chance to clear himself through an ethics investigation.
But in a situation like this, it's virtually impossible. First of all these allegations are from years ago. There's no physical evidence. I mean, all the worst he was accused of doing, Leanne Tweeden accused him of sticking his tongue in her mouth. There's no, he said, she said. And
were there any witnesses to that? Were there any witnesses to that? Do you know?
I guess not.
I don't believe
she said there weren't.
I don't believe a word Leanne Tweeden
said
about anything.
I don't believe her either. That's why I said, let's see if anybody else comes forward. I think she's just too tainted as a witness. She's too entrenched in right-wing media world, right?
Absolutely. And why, for example, did Roger Stone comment about what she was going to say 12 hours before?
Exactly.
This is a complete setup.
Exactly.
Complete setup.
And if it weren't for that...
If
it weren't for Roger Stone's tweet, as you mentioned, 12 hours ahead of time, then maybe I would have given her the benefit of the doubt.
A little more credence. She would have probably even deserved, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
But once that was clear and that was out, credence just flew out the window for me entirely. And since I've been listening to all of this and I've had conversations, excuse me for talking so much, I'm so fired up about this I can barely breathe. I had a long conversation with a group of women friends of mine, and to a woman, they were all saying exactly what I am saying. They think the whole thing has gone too far. It has become a sort of a self-perpetuating shoot myself in the foot routine going on. Everybody claiming to, as you just said, claim the higher moral ground, when in fact that doesn't exist. This is a fantasy in the mind of these people. They are going to bring down... I, for example, I am resigning from the Democratic Party. I've told the Democrats abroad this morning. Right after Frank.
You know why that's a bad idea? You know why that's a bad idea? Because primaries matter.
And I can vote in a presidential election.
But can you vote in a primary?
Democrat, I will.
Can you vote in a primary? Because primaries are really, really important. Primaries are where the DCCC tries to sneak in all these conservatives.
I don't believe I can, but I'll tell you why it won't matter. Because the Democrats abroad and absentee ballots were so negated in Kentucky, where I'm registered to vote, the infamously nefarious Kentucky, that it really won't matter.
I see.
So I'm not going to, you're not going to lose my personal vote in this instance. But and in the national election, I can vote for whomever I choose. And if it comes down to a Democrat or a Republican, of course I'm going to vote Democrat.
Right.
I am that pissed off by what happened today.
Okay.
I'm beyond pissed off.
All right, Nicholas. Well, thank you for calling in. I at this point, I don't think he had a choice. I think he was railroaded.
I don't think he did either. He wasn't given a choice, and that is the really ugly part of all this. They did not give him the opportunity to even defend himself. He's the one who took the higher moral ground, not they. I do not see it from their side. And I think I am a complete feminist. I mean, totally, 100%. And but in this case, they went several steps too far.
Okay.
And I think they've and everyone's saying, what about poor Franken? What about us? We needed Al Franken.
Yeah,
we deserved Al Franken.
The ideal thing would be if Keith Ellison, if Mark Dayton, the governor of Minnesota, would appoint Keith Ellison, although the rumors are that he's going to appoint the female lieutenant governor. And then have a special election next November. No, just that she's supposed to be pretty progressive, but she'd only be a placeholder. She'd be there until next November, November of 2018, where they'd hold a special election. By the way, Amy Klobuchar is also up for re-election in 2018.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, well. All right, Nicholas, let me run and grab...
We are so screwed.
I hear you. Well, I know. Yeah. Let me run and grab
God
another
bless
call.
You, girl.
Thank you
I
for
got,
the call.
I got to warn you, if you will. Yeah, your invite to Mexico stands, of course. But if I meet you at the airport and I put my arm around you, don't shoot me.
I will not. Believe me. Just don't
promise.
Pinch my ass.
No, I promise.
Okay. Thanks.
God bless you, Nicole.
Bye. Thanks, Nicholas.
Courage.
You too. Hi, who's this? Hello?
Jason from Simi Valley.
Hey, Jason from Simi Valley. What do you think about Al Franken resigning?
I'm of such two minds. From one side of it, because I do believe everything has to be judged in context, it's not good to be ass grabby.
No.
If he was.
Right.
And that's not good. On the other hand, I sometimes wonder in my heart of hearts whether we're cutting off our nose to spite our face, because we need allies. Understand, it's like I'm a guy, so I'm looking at it from my perspective. I know as a woman you probably might see it very differently, and I appreciate that. But I just feel that we now have two senators who are going to be up for re-election. It's entirely possible that, you know, who knows? I've heard something this morning that we might have the joy of Michelle Bachmann running for that seat.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, now, I'm not saying that will be the case, but I think we have to. I just wonder sometimes, are we taking the high ground is what we always would like to do, but I'm not sure if anyone has noticed that we're in a knife fight. And right now, these people, the Republicans, are bound and determined to remake America into something which looks like out of a dystopian movie, essentially. And we have a president who has admitted to being sexually aggressive toward women.
Mm-hmm.
And the logic that I seem to be seeing is, if you admit it, you're a pig, you're awful. But if you say, and please forgive me, if you take the position that bitches lie, that's okay.
Yeah, I didn't do it. He totally says he didn't do it. That makes it better. That's Donald Trump's line of reasoning. He says he didn't do it. He says he didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, the other point on this issue is that Franken, who I thought was a great senator, you know, and hopefully his post being a senator will do some good things. I'm just telling everybody right now that we are in the process of being completely screwed, and I'm just wondering whether it be a progressive or not, if we just aren't self-destructing again, because we want to be the nice, reasonable adults when we're dealing with a bunch of barbarians.
And that's
what it comes down to.
Right, we are. And here, while we're agonizing over Al Franken resigning because he may have, you know, touched a few women on the ass, not to belittle it, if it happened to me, I'd probably be mortified, and I probably would have smacked him. That's the thing.
Well, yeah,
you know, these women let him grab their ass and didn't say or do anything at the time. I know if somebody grabbed my ass, I would make a stink about it. I wouldn't just go, oh, my God, he touched me inappropriately to myself and saunter away.
And you're a woman like I know, because I know women, and I can tell you when anybody grabbed their backside without their express consent, there's going to be a really big problem.
Yes.
And that's the world I live in. And right now today, with Frank, when you talk about the Senate and the House right now, you look at the Republicans, who are the most heartless life forms I've ever seen. I mean, Grassley's comments and the fact that Paul Ryan, for an example, the thought of taking Medicare and Social Security away from people gives that man a Woody.
Yep.
I mean,
that's the next thing he wants to take on in the new year is take on, what does he call, medical entitlements. Well, there goes our Medicare and Medicaid people.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm on the California exchange. I get my health care. Next month, my health care goes from $844, because I have the top line plan, because it makes fiscal sense with my medications, up to $990.
Yeah, well, I have to go for a less inclusive plan, because mine more than doubled to well over $1,000 that I don't have.
Doubled?
That
oh
money
God.
That well, I don't we, have, so I because I'm on the exchange as well. I'm in Florida, so I'm on healthcare.gov. I have this.
You mispronounced it. It's Florida.
Well, it is Florida. Right.
Yeah. Because so, I'm sitting here and I'm scared to death right now, and I know you're getting ready for Howie.
Yep.
But I think right now, we better hope and pray that we all remain motivated and turn out and vote. There will give me no greater pleasure than if Alabama surprises me and even the women of Alabama turn out to vote and say, nah, this is a bridge too far. I know it's probably not going to happen, but it's all about turnout and getting our people out. And Al Franken, hopefully his replacement will be good. and have a good chance at keeping the seat in 2018. Mm-hmm. And I want you to take care of yourself and don't get too stressed out. I know I am. That's why my tummy's grumbly today. Have a good day, Nicole.
Thank you, Jason. Always good to hear from you. Bye-bye. All right. We will take a quick break, and we'll come back with Howie Klein next. A lot to talk about. So stick around. Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network. And if you're going to do any shopping on Amazon over the holidays, please pay attention to this.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal, and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hi, Howie Klein.
Hey, Nicole. I am flipping out right now.
Are you flipping out about Al Franken? What are you flipping out about?
About Al Franken.
Yeah.
Everyone I know is so pissed off. I mean, and you know what? If there's a difference between genders, women are more pissed off than men. You know, I'm on one of these listservs with lots of elite intellectuals, and they just think the greatest thing that Al Franken is gone and, you know, the world is a better place, and they're just going on and on. And I'm fighting with some of them about it. But meanwhile, I'm getting, you know, I just went for a hike in my neighborhood with my walking partner, a woman. She's just so angry, I can't tell you. She's spitting nails, she's so pissed off. And everyone that we met on the hike, men and women, we didn't bring it up to anybody. Not one single time did I bring it up. They brought it up.
Wow.
Everyone is furious about this Franken thing. And they are, I mean, and one of my friends, who I think you even may know, but I don't want to use his name, just sent a letter to Chuck Schumer, and he sent me a copy of it, resigning from the Democratic Party. This guy, I've known this guy for decades. He has been a major Democratic donor. He resigned from the party, and he says he's never giving any money to a Democrat again.
Wow.
That's how angry he is.
Wow.
But I want to read something that I just got. Do you know who, I don't know if I can pronounce his name right, Eugene Puryear?
No, I don't know him.
Eugene is one of the most brilliant political leaders in America. The guy is just brilliant. He you know, he ran for like a seat in Washington, D.C. City Council. He actually was on some minor party, some socialist party, I should say, running for vice president. And he's a writer. But the guy is just absolutely brilliant. And he said something that I think is worth repeating. I'm going to reproduce it on my blog, but since it's not there yet, I just want to read it. I think it's important for people who are upset about what happened to Franken. Okay. So I'm going to read it word for word.
Okay.
Just historically here, there was always a push for the civil rights movement to moderate itself or subject itself purely to the political demands of the Democratic Party at the moment. The argument was that if they did not, it would cause a white backlash that could kill the momentum on civil rights legislation priorities. In fact, the 1966 election was a backlash election and did kill the open housing bill. But who here wants to argue the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party should have taken those two seats and shut up? Further, the same bill ended up passing after the uprising after King's assassination in 1968. That same liberatory upsurge produced the initial positive moves, the backlash, and the more positive moves. Politics can't be governed purely by what this or that piece of electoral math in the moment dictates. Mm-hmm. That is how you can end up with huge election shifts that result in, well, less than huge political shifts in the direction of the country. Racism isn't gone, but for sure it is now considered terrible to be a racist, where the actual racists do not even want to be called racists. This moment is bigger than the Democrats or the Republicans. It is bigger than partisan politics. We are seeing truly mass steps towards an extremely necessary, critical, indispensable cultural change in this country. We need to fan the flames. The time to fight, to take on, and hopefully crush the patriarchy is now. Women are fighting and leading. We need to join them, not lament that some pissed off dudes are going to vote next year. So I think what Eugene is getting at is really, really important. I think everyone who's angry about Franken, I'm one of them, needs to take what he's saying into account. He's right. The guy is completely right. And on the other hand, I'm sorry to say, on the other hand, that's a terrible phrase. You know, I know Kirsten Gillibrand. I literally know her.
Right.
I mean, she ran the first time. I don't know if we've talked about this before, but Blue America supported her. We raised quite a bit of money for her. We got Ricky Lee Jones to do an ad for her that helped her win her first election. And I was very disappointed when she got into the House and immediately proved to be dishonest. She was dishonest with me. She certainly tried to paint the picture to me that she was a progressive, which she wasn't. She joined the Blue Dogs immediately. She became a poster child for the NRA. She was the NRA sweetheart in New York State. And worse than that, she was the poster child for xenophobia. She took on the mantle of trying to prevent immigrants from getting driver's licenses. That was a very, very, very big issue at the time. And she was the voice, the anti-immigrant voice of that time.
Wow.
Then Hillary Clinton, who was the senator in New York, decides she's going to go work for Obama as Secretary of State,
right.
And there's an open seat, and they want to give it to some, you know, nice, safe conservative. And conservatives have a rough time in New York winning, but they can, since this is going to be appointed, they can make her the incumbent, and then she'd be able to win next time. So they did, very much to the because of the Clintons, she became the U.S. senator. She never would have become a U.S. senator. She's too conservative for New York.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she becomes the U.S. senator and immediately changes her stripes overnight. Overnight, she was no longer a xenophobe campaigning against Hispanics. Overnight, she was no longer, you know, Miss NRA. She was opposed to the NRA. She was no longer a conservative Democrat. She left the Blue Dogs, and she's born again overnight a progressive. Now she's still a Wall Street – I don't want to use the word, but she's a big Wall Street shill, let's put
right.
it like that,
right.
Getting more money from Wall Street than – I think other than people who have run for president, the only people that have gotten more money from Wall Street than Kirsten Gillibrand are Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell, and Pat Toomey.
Wow.
That's it. And then
wow.
she's next. Even
wow.
though she hasn't been around in the Senate all that long, she just takes hand over fist money from Wall Street. So, you know, she's trying to be president. She's trying to use this this moment to advance her own career. I think it's going to destroy her career personally. But I could be wrong about that. All that said, what I just read to you by Eugene is more important than any of this petty partisan stuff, and I'll be the first to admit it. Did you call to talk about something different with me?
Well, I figured the first thing I was going to talk to you about was Al Franken, because that is the big news of the day. And it is just so stunning in that, look, there is a problem with sexual harassment and sexual misconduct. And I just read somewhere that both CNN and The Washington Post have investigations going on into 20 to 30 congressional members over sexual harassment. So there are going to be a lot more shoes to drop. I just don't think, and some women may take issue with what I'm about to say, but I don't think what Al Franken did it warrants his dismissal from the U.S. Senate. So he grabbed a couple of women on the ass. Look,
Before he was in the Senate, right.
And as I said to a caller a few minutes ago, if I'm taking a photo with someone, I don't care if they're a U.S. senator or a radio personality or a Saturday Night Live writer or comedian, someone grabs me on the ass, I'm going to turn around and smack them. Or at the very least, I'm going to yell, "Get your hand off my ass." I'm going to say something. I'm not just going to quietly slink away. And I would think that would be the reaction of most women. This whole thing with Al Franken was just too convenient for me.
I agree with you. But, you know, people are different. I've written about this on my blog, and I wrote it from the perspective of a gay man. I am a gay man. I wrote it from that perspective. So, you know, I know a lot of gay men who have been, you know, have had the same situation, where a man in power, you know, the guy who's got the alpha part of the power dynamic,
right,
or in the workplace especially, will come on to a guy. So that happened to me. You know, I was kind of hoping I was going to get a job at one time. I was much younger, and the guy, you know, wound up like chasing me around his office, literally physically chasing me around his office.
Wow.
And the thing is, I have the wherewithal mentally to be able to put a stop to it. So I didn't want to, like, kill any chance I had of working with this guy, but I certainly wasn't going to do anything sexual with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to, you know, derail it and relatively gracefully.
Mm-hmm.
But not everyone has that capacity.
Right.
Some people just freak out and their life is ending and they see it all going before them and they give in to this thing. I was just on the phone. A friend of mine called again about Franken, and he was the leader of a I don't want to name him. It wouldn't be fair. But he was the leader of a pretty big band. They had a couple of hits. I don't think any of their records went platinum, but they had at least one gold record. So
okay.
They're somewhat well known. And he was telling me that he was telling me how pissed off he is about Franken, and he's really angry, and, you know, he was just pissed off about it. And then I said to him, you know, it's funny. No, well, he brought up to me, he wonders why more gay people aren't coming forward and telling this, because he knows in the industry, it's not that different. You know, for young guys, especially nice-looking young guys, which he is, to get preyed on by older men in who have power over them, and that certainly has happened to him, and he says that to me, and I said, you know, you never brought that thing up about, and then I named a guy who had physically molested him and his boyfriend, both of them.
Wow.
So these are gay guys, and he started laughing, and he said, "Of course, I never did. You're right." And here he was, all angry and about it, but he never wrote up. And because men usually don't, because there's some kind of shame generally associated
right.
with it.
Right.
And I think that's somewhat true for women as well. Maybe not quite as true, because yes, it's very true for women too, but it's a different kind of true for women. For men, if you bring up that somebody molested you, you're sort of admitting that there's a weakness about you. But the main thing I wanted to say to the point that you were making is that people have different personalities. I know you, Nicole, and I know that you would, if you were posing for a picture with Al Franken and he grabbed your ass, you would slap him across the face and
right.
he'd probably laugh.
Yes, exactly.
But not every woman has that kind
right.
of strength to do that.
I guess.
Nor does every woman have to have that strength. Women who need to be protected should be protected.
That's true.
But I also agree with you that Al Franken's offense, in my view, just as in your view, should not have been a political death sentence.
Right. And
the people of Minnesota felt it should be, next time he runs, they don't have to vote for
exactly.
him. Or he could lose. He could lose in the primary. He could lose in the general election. Whatever.
Right.
But you know, to have a different kind of predator, a Kirsten Gillibrand predator, try to do this for her own benefit, which is what I believe was what she did. Mm-hmm. That's a different kind of story.
Right. And it went all the way up to Chuck Schumer. Apparently, Chuck Schumer had Al and his wife Franny over to his apartment, and he said, "You have to resign." I guess they want to be able to claim the moral high ground if and when Roy Moore gets in the Senate, to be able to say, you know, he shouldn't be seated or he needs to go before the Ethics Committee or whatever. The difference between what Al Franken is alleged to have done and what Roy Moore is alleged to have done is night and day. I mean, Roy Moore is alleged to have molested young girls, young minor girls. And I get the age of consent in Alabama was 16. And even by those standards, it's a little creepy for me for a 34-year-old to be dating a 17 or a 16-year-old. But
You know, they're claiming she dressed up to make herself look like she was 16.
Yeah, when she was outside the courtroom, when her mother was in the custody hearing, when Roy Moore says, "Don't worry, I'll watch your daughter for you." That's just creepy. He's a predator, as is the guy sitting in the Oval Office, a predator who's admitted to walking in on women who were in various stages of undress at beauty pageants, who admitted on that tape to grabbing women by the pussy. I mean, there's night and day, but it's okay for them, but it's not okay for Democrats who have, when he was a comedian, before he was ever in politics, to have grabbed a woman by the ass. I'm not saying it's okay to grab a woman by the ass, but my God, there's a difference here. And the standards are so completely different that it's appalling. And I think we're going to lose out. We're going to lose a really good senator, and they're going to get Roy Moore in the Senate, and we're going to still have Donald Trump as president.
Yep. You know, it goes beyond that. I mean, as you said, they're investigating lots and lots and lots of members of Congress now.
Mm-hmm.
But just look no further than Blake Farenthold.
That's right.
Blake Farenthold, who physically looks like a monster to begin with,
yes.
is a very, very rich Republican from Corpus Christi. And he's sitting in Congress. So you have Paul Ryan goes on TV the other day, you know, yelling about John Conyers, who has resigned. He's gone. He's not in Congress anymore. But Blake Farenthold, and what did John Conyers do? What John Conyers did was wrong. John Conyers resigning, I personally think he did the right thing.
I think he
should have resigned.
I agree.
Because he was using his office as a congressman to come on to women. That's the big difference of that Franken didn't do.
Right.
But Paul Ryan, by just, you know, going on TV and demeaning John Conyers, who is more than just this. I mean, John Conyers, remember, John Conyers is the guy who wrote and introduced year after year after year, over decades, the single-payer Medicare for All Act.
Mm-hmm.
John Conyers was a really, really good member of Congress.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't excuse, and nor am I trying to excuse, him using this dynamic to try to seduce women. That's terrible and unforgivable. I agree. But Paul Ryan never said a single word, not a peep, about Blake Farenthold.
Nope.
Blake Farenthold not only tried to use his office to molest at least one woman that, you know, sued him, that and then who settled with him for $84,000 of taxpayer money, but beyond that, Blake Farenthold did not resign and has no intention of resigning, nor did Paul Ryan call on him to resign.
Exactly.
I mean, they're protecting their own right now with this guy, and this guy ruined this woman's career. So aside from, you know, screwing her up psychologically or whatever he did in that way, that's bad enough. She had a career. She wasn't an elected member of Congress, but she had been working for 9 years in Congress. And before she ever met Blake Farenthold, she was working for other members of Congress. She was shunned from Congress and has no job now, and is trying to make ends meet by babysitting.
Wow.
This was a professional woman who had a good job, and Blake Farenthold made sure that was over. So, I mean, It's unbelievable to me that Ryan is carrying on and whining about John Conyers and doesn't say a word about Blake Farenthold, who Ryan is responsible for. Ryan is the head of his party. Right. Ryan could tell him, go resign now. Ryan could go on TV and say and demand his resignation, but instead doesn't even mention his name.
Right, and he's the one person we know of who, for whom $84,000 was paid to a victim for his sexual harassment of her out of taxpayer money, out of that special fund in the House or in Congress. So, the hypocrisy is just stunning. It shows, I think, if you look at it on the surface, that the Democratic Party is the one of the two who has integrity, except I think they did this for the wrong reasons. I think they did this so that they could hold the higher moral ground if and when Roy Moore gets into the Senate, and they can hold it above him, hold, you know, Donald Trump's exploits above him. But I think they're going to fail on that front.
I think you're right. I don't think the Democrats should be playing this game as a party. And, you know, it's very, very important that what women are asking for now, for this patriotic attitude towards women in the workplace, in society, it should end. Yeah, it should.
Yep.
But we shouldn't slow it down, and we should be cheering on women who are leading. I just feel that there are now women who are going to take advantage of this, and I think that there's going to be a backlash, and the backlash is going to be humongous. I'm hearing it all the time.
Yep.
I mean, that stupid woman in Michigan who's running for attorney general, who goes on, she's made a complete fool out of herself. She has no chance to win now. She's talking about don't vote for people with penises.
I mean, oh, my God.
She didn't say it exactly that way, but almost. And enough that men are here. That's what they're hearing. You think men want to hear, don't vote for men with penises? Don't vote for people with penises?
No.
That's a big, big mistake. So, you know, there's a way to do this, and then there's a way not to do this.
Yeah, and the Democrats, as per, their MO, do it the way that they shouldn't do it. So I think they're just making mistakes again and again. And this with Al Franken, why didn't they let him go through the whole ethics committee thing? I think I know the answer to that, because an eighth woman came up yesterday, seventh and eighth woman. By the way, the eighth woman only alleged that when they took a picture, he grabbed her by the waist and squeezed. What connotes sexual assault? Grabbing someone by the waist? Look, if someone grabbed me by the waist and squeezed, I've got a little extra meat there. It's easy to squeeze. I wouldn't consider that sexual assault, but there it is.
And if you're uncomfortable with it, you
say something.
There are a lot of way that you can, if you have the, you know, if you have the gumption to, and you shouldn't be forced to have the gumption, but there's a lot of ways to push back on that.
That's right.
One of them, you know, she could punch him in the balls.
Yes.
That would be a good way. Fantastic way to respond.
You know, we've only got like 8 minutes left. And the one thing I did want to talk to you about was what happened in the House of Representatives yesterday, because it got very little press. I heard nothing about it in the news last night or this morning. But the House rammed through their concealed carry reciprocity act. Why can't I say it?
Reciprocity
act. Thank you.
Number one priority, legislative priority for the NRA. This was their big thing, and it passed with almost all Republicans voting for it, and most of the Republicans who voted against it because they wanted it to be much, much stronger.
Right.
So you got a lot of like extreme right wingers who were against it because it wasn't strong enough. But what it says basically is, let's just take the worst case scenario. Of a state that just, you know, wants everybody carrying concealed weapons and has nothing to slow them down. There's no background checks. There's no nothing. You just go in, you get a gun, you put it in your pocket and no one knows it's there, and you get drunk and you start shooting.
Yeah.
Let's just take that state. And then they can just come to California or New York or other states that have a more civilized, progressive attitude about this stuff, who have strict guidelines for concealed weapons, where you do have to pass tests and you have to go to school and learn how to use a weapon properly. But now, according to this bill, if it passes in the Senate and then Trumpanzee signs it, this will be the law, that someone from Alabama can come to California with a concealed weapon, get drunk, and start shooting up the bar. So, you know, there were, and, you know, the point, I made two points. One was that there were six Democrats, five blue dogs and one new Dem from the Republican wing of the Democratic Party who voted with the Republicans on this. Mm-hmm. They agree. You know, they were for the reciprocity. The other point that I made had to do with, Gabby Giffords. Now, Gabby Giffords was a blue dog from Arizona, yes. Congresswoman, who is a straight on NRA supporter and quite right wing. And then she got shot. And upon getting shot, she became an archangel for anti NRA moves. And she's all about gun control now. And she has a huge gun control operation going on. And she, they're doing great work. Her organization is doing great work, period.
Mm-hmm.
And she just endorsed a woman for the seat that she used to hold named Ann Kirkpatrick.
Ann Kirkpatrick
is a new Dem. She's very, very conservative. She's a, you know, I hate to say it, but she's a piece of shit who doesn't deserve to get back into Congress. She just ran. You know, she runs. She gets in on a wave. She loses after that. She waits for the next wave and gets in. And then she gets defeated again because she votes with the Republicans all the time. And that's her story, in and out and in and out and in and out. So now she moved down. She's from northern Arizona. She moved down to southern Arizona, and there's a big difference between southern Arizona and northern Arizona. So she has nothing to do with that district. But it's Gabby's old seat, and she's running. There are a number of really good progressives running as well, including, a whole bunch of really good ones who are very, very much in favor of sane gun control. Well, Gabby Giffords just endorsed Ann Kirkpatrick. Ann Kirkpatrick is more than just a bad Democrat. She was Arizona's Democrat who the NRA could point to and gave her an A and say, look, she's for all of our stuff. Not just that. She was a co-sponsor of this bill the last time the Republicans brought it up. She was in Congress then. She's not in Congress now. She was in Congress then. They bring up this bill, this Reciprocity Act. She signed on as a co-sponsor. So how is it that Gabby Giffords, who is doing nothing right now but asking people to give them money to stop this reciprocity bill, that's all she's doing now, just asking people, send me money and we'll stop this reciprocity bill, except she's doing one other thing.
Wow.
She's endorsing Ann Kirkpatrick. What the hell? What does that mean? What does that say to people? Well, it doesn't matter what it says because no one knows.
Right. Well, now they do.
No one says anything about it, and you never hear about it.
Wow. That's insane. I know it got held up here in Florida, in the Florida Senate, I believe, in the legislature. I just read something in passing about it. But if it passes in Congress, that's a national law. So it went through the House. It passed through the House.
Yes.
Now it's got to go to the Senate?
It has to go through. It has to go to the Senate. They have to pass the exact same language, or it goes to a conference committee like the tax bill is, mm-hmm. and then the imbecile has to sign it. So we'll see what happens. I mean, he'll sign it if it gets to him. And, you know, it may happen. There's no doubt that there will be lawsuits about this because, hey, what about states' rights? To these Republicans, states' rights is only about keeping black people down. There's no other states' rights that they care about. Is this going to just smother all of the states all of the states that have passed good gun control legislation? This ends it for all of them,
I guess.
So there will be lawsuits about this that go on and on and on. So we'll see what happens. I know that we're coming close to the end, and I just want to leave on a good note if I can.
Please.
Which is, there was an election in Georgia the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And Georgia is one of these states that has a supermajority in the state legislature. And one of the Republican state senators resigned because he's running for governor. So this is a Republican in a Republican seat, a very, very rich white district. The guy leaves, and everyone figures, so another Republican will get the seat. That's the way this district votes.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, a progressive, I don't mean just some, crappy garden variety Democrat. A progressive woman ran, and she got into the runoff. And she got into the runoff against a crazy crackpot, homophobic, lunatic Democrat. So there was no Republican even in the
right.
race. It was just two Democrats
wow.
in the runoff. One of them is so conservative that he might as well have been a Republican. And then this progressive woman. So on Tuesday, the progressive woman won, and she won handily. And not only did she beat the conservative, but she broke the Republican supermajority in the state Senate. They don't have a
awesome.
Supermajority anymore. So what's the good of that? If the Democrats wind up electing the next governor, the Republicans won't be able to,
ram everything through. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Which they're doing in North Carolina now because they still have a supermajority there. There's a Democratic governor, but the state legislature just, craps on everything he does.
Howie Klein, that is great news. Thank you for that. And we are out of time. So thank you. And keep your chin up. We'll make things better, I hope.